Hi, this is Welcome to Self, and I'm your host, Dr. Hayley D. Quinn, fellow human, business owner, and the anti-burnout business coach. I'm here for service-based business owners like you to help you increase your own self-care and self-compassion, change the relationship you have with yourself and your business, and help you elevate your business to a new level so you can live the full and meaningful life you desire. We are all on a continual learning journey, so let's learn together. Welcome to Self is a place where you can come and learn about the practices that will assist you as a business owner and get tips on how to engage in your business in a way that is sustainable for you. You will realize that you're not alone in the ways that you struggle, because at times we all do. And I'm happy to share with you what I've learned through my own struggles and my experiences of running businesses. You can join me as I chat to wonderful guests and have your curiosity piqued about various topics. And I'll also bring you solo bite-sized business episodes that can easily fit into your day. This is a place to remember that you are human first and have different tasks in your business and different roles in your life that need your attention. And for that, you need to take care of yourself in the best way you can. This is a place of nourishment, growth, and helpful information. A place where you can learn ways to assist you and your business to thrive. Because remember, if you thrive, your business can too. Now let's get to the episode. Hi, and welcome to another episode and another great guest. Turns out my next guest and I grew up just over half an hour from each other in the UK and moved to Australia at a very similar time of life. Join two northern lasses as we chat about all things SEO, websites, writing books, self-care, and being yourself. My guest, Kate Toon, is an award-winning business mentor and digital marketing coach, as well as the author of the popular business book, Six Figures in School Hours, How to Run a Successful Business and Still Be a Good Parent. She's an honest, down-to-earth human on a mission to demystify the realities of running a successful online business. And while she's serious about business, she doesn't take things too seriously. Her stay-tuned group of companies include the Digital Marketing Collective, the Clever Copywriting School, and the Recipe for SEO Success. Kate has helped more than 20,000 other businesses demystify digital marketing, grapple with the Google beast, and find their own version of success. I really enjoyed this conversation with Kate, and I'm sure you will as well. Plus, it's full of great information to help you and your business. It is my absolute pleasure to welcome Kate to the podcast. So hi, Kate. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's really great to see you.
It's lovely to be here. And I cannot believe that we are from the same place, like within literally 5 miles of each other.
I know, crazy stuff. Like, how's that? So as we were talking before, we were going to do a bit of a warning that our northern accents might get a bit stronger as we go. So some people might not actually understand what we're talking about by the end.
We'll need a transcript. There you go.
Fantastic. So do you want to start with just telling us a bit about who is Kate Toon?
Oh, that's an existential question. I don't know today. I'm a bit tired. I need more coffee. No, I mean, these days I'd say I'm a business mentor, digital marketing coach, an author, a podcaster, a speaker, a mum, a dog owner. And I'm very tired, middle-aged woman, I think.
Fantastic. So lots of things which can lead us to be tired. And we'll talk a little bit more about how we manage that and deal with that a bit later on. But one of the things, I think how I kind of came across you was around SEO. And I was like, what is SEO? And obviously having, you know, engaged in some of your things, I know a bit more about SEO, but you are certainly one of the experts out there. So can you tell us, what is SEO and why is it important for our businesses?
Really, SEO stands for search engine optimization, which isn't any more helpful, but it's the art of making Google fall in love with your website. And if Google falls in love with your website, they're going to rank it higher when people search for things related to what you do. And so there is, you know, a methodology, a process, and things you need to tick off to make Google find your website more attractive. The analogy I like to use is the Bachelor analogy, which is a terrible analogy, but, you know, Google's coming in, it's the Bachelor, it's got 30 websites to choose from. Why is it going to choose yours? And Google has a bit of a list, about 200 things that it wants from your website. And really, SEO is the art of working out what those things are, putting them in order of priority and doing them.
Right. So sticking with your kind of Bachelor theme, your website can't just be pretty, can it? It's kind of got to have some intelligence. It's got to have a good personality. It's got to have some interesting things to talk about.
That's exactly it. You know, so it's got to be relevant. Some of the analogy doesn't kind of work at some point because it gets a bit.
Yeah, let's stop that.
Yeah, it's got to be fast. So, you know, some of the technical things are it's got to load very quickly in 3 seconds or less. It's got to look really good on mobile, since these days Google only looks at the mobile version of your site. It doesn't look at the desktop version at all.
Oh, wow.
And well, most of your most of your audience, if you look at Google Analytics, you'll probably see about 50-60% of your audience is now viewing your site on a mobile. And we all know the experience isn't quite as good on a mobile, but that's the device we're using. It's making sure that Google can get to every page in your site, the things aren't blocked or broken. And then it's about the content on the page, you know, like making sure that it's really engaging and exciting for humans and for Google, and that you've labeled things well, you know, you've named your images well, and you're not trying to load a 20 megabyte image file onto the page and people are sitting there going, when is this site going to appear? So most of it is common sense.
Yeah.
And the problem, I think, is that SEO has a bit of a bad reputation because you get lots of weird people emailing you saying, greetings of the day.
Yes.
It's terrible. It needs to be fixed. And you don't get accountants doing that. You don't get real estate agents doing that.
No.
It's really weird.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that because... Yeah. I'm sure I'm not the only one, and obviously not with you mentioning it, is I get lots of emails saying, oh, we've noticed this or that, and putting all this stuff, which I just look at and delete them straight away. Because I figure if I want somebody to do my SEO, or I'm either going to learn about it or I'm going to get somebody and I'm going to approach them. But they do write them in ways that they look like they've legitimately found problems. So how can people kind of safeguard a little bit about what advice would you give around that stuff?
Absolutely. You just delete all of them. They're not true. They're not legit. They haven't looked at your site, and they're playing on the fact that most people don't know what SEO is.
Yeah.
They don't understand their own website. They paid someone to build it, and things like emails like that freak you out, right? Mm. Nobody wants to be seen to be doing something wrong. And we all understand that if we, you know, if Google gets fed up with us, then we could be taken off the index.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing ever, right? So they're just using fear. And they haven't looked at your site, and you should absolutely just delete all of them. You would never hire an accountant because they sent you an email.
No.
You would do your research. You would talk to people. You'd get a recommendation. You'd get a couple of testimonials from people who are in the same industry as you. Because again, even if you hire an SEO person, they might have loads of experience working with plumbers, but no experience working with psychologists.
Yeah.
And it's very different how you work with them. So no. Absolutely. Delete them. Ignore them. They have not looked at your site. They're just trying to scare you.
Yeah.
And it obviously works, because they wouldn't keep sending them if it didn't work. So
of course.
Lots of people who come onto my courses have been tricked, have wasted a lot of money because they just didn't educate themselves, which is, you know, fair. We're small business owners. We've got a lot to do.
Yeah.
You cannot be good at everything. And you want to trust that if someone says they can do a good job, they can. But
unfortunately,
they can't.
Yeah. So delete the emails and then Google Kate Toon and check out Kate's offerings instead.
Exactly.
I think one of the things I really like about you, Kate, is you're very transparent, you know, on your socials and when you do your trainings, and you've got some offerings kind of from kind of free offerings through to paid offerings. And that's something I think you are very transparent about the work you do, which I think is comforting for people who don't understand the area that well.
Yeah, I try to be. I mean, I'm very honest about all of it, really. My failures, I share how much I make within my membership, you know, which is very vulnerable. You know, we're British, we're told not to talk about these things.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, you know, it's I don't know. It's funny because it's like, why do people not share that stuff? What are they afraid of? that someone's going to see that they're not the perfect being that they're putting out there. People are going to see that anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you know, and it's much better if I own it, if I own the fact that sometimes I'm a bit of a buffoon or I've made a mistake. It's much better that I own that because it takes away other people's power. Yeah. You know, people can't be like criticizing me for being scruffy if I'm already out there laughing at the fact that I'm scruffy. Do you know what I mean? It takes away people's power and therefore it makes it easier for you to show up because you're like, I've got really not much to hide. I don't share my really bad stories, my trauma and all of that. And I know some people do, but that's not me. But, you know, generally, if I mess up, I think it humanizes me. And if my audience thinks, oh, she made a mistake, so she's probably not for me, then they're probably not for me.
Yeah. You know, absolutely.
So it's easier as well. It's so much easier to just turn up and be yourself. It's exhausting trying to be professional all the time.
Isn't it? I mean, that's the thing. I think the thing I've discovered over my lifetime is authentic living is just an easier way, a more joyful way to live.
It is. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And, you know, all of the paraphernalia that goes with it, like you want to say something online and you think, oh, I've got to do my hair and I've got to put a dress on and I've got to get my lighting right, and then it's 2 hours later and you've not made the video. You know, turn up with your scruffy hair, who cares? I literally, you know, I think about all the people I've met and I can picture them in my head, but there's no one I think, oh, don't like the look of them. Do you know what I mean? It just doesn't, I'm too busy listening to what they're saying.
Exactly.
But I think we worry a lot about.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about website wobbles. Like, what are some of the biggest mistakes that perhaps small business owners make with their websites? And then what might be some easy fixes that they could start with if they aren't ready to kind of get somebody else to come in and fix things up for them?
Yeah, I think, you know, one non-mistake is people worry a lot about which platform they should go with. Should they go with Wix or Shopify or Squarespace or WordPress? So one little thing to say there is they're all much of a muchness now and they're all pretty good. You know, they're all pretty good. It's really more about how much money you've got to spend. Yeah. You know, would I go like a site on GoDaddy? No, I wouldn't. But those main platforms, they're all pretty good. So that's one kind of non-mistake, but that's something that people worry about. I think the next thing is just thinking that your website is a once-off job, you know, that you build it, you pay someone to build it, and then it's there. It's a living, breathing beast. It's possibly the most important part of your business, you know. Yeah. And you need to kind of give it love and attention and add content to it and keep it fresh. I'd say my top tip would be to just get someone who doesn't really understand your business that well to have a little look at your homepage and ask them, can you tell really quickly what I do? You know, can you tell who I am, what I do, who I do it for, and why I'm better than anybody else? You know, because you know, if you go to like, I'll say it again, who I am. So I'm Kate Toon. What I do, I'm a digital marketing coach. Who I help, small business and e-commerce stores. And why I'm better than anybody else, because I have a down-to-earth, easy, fun approach to digital marketing. It's called a unique selling proposition. It's just two sentences that sum you up. And after the picture on your homepage, which we all have, that should be the first piece of copy. Because there's a rule, it's called the 330 rule. And it's that when someone hits your site, they've got 3 seconds to feel like they're in the right place, right? Yeah. And if they don't, they'll bounce out of your site very quickly. And then you've got 30 seconds to persuade them to take the next step, whatever the next step is. Is it to look at your services page? Is it to look at your contact page? Is it to move to a product page and buy something? So that first 3 seconds, if you've wasted that with some wiggly thing coming in at the top and a picture of a girl jumping in a puddle and you know, some buttons that flash, and I'm like, is this an insurance company or are they selling handbags? I have no idea, right? Yeah. So you've got to be really speedy at getting the message across. And sometimes we need to sacrifice a bit of form for function.
Yeah.
So as you said earlier, less pretty, more practical.
Yeah. Right?
Because pretty doesn't sell stuff. It really doesn't. And it doesn't matter how pretty your site is. If I don't know what you do, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Gosh, the world's really changed, hasn't it? Everything is so fast paced now. The era of, you know, wandering into a real life shop where you'd go in and you'd spend time browsing around. I mean, that era's gone, hasn't it? This is now like 3 seconds to get someone's attention, 30 seconds to get them to take the next step. I mean, that's so fast paced.
Yeah.
The information we put there has got to be so specific, hasn't it?
It's crucial, and it's got to load quickly. You know, don't put it in silly fancy brush fonts, you know, that are difficult to read. Make sure the contrast is good. You know, black copy on a white background, it's worked for hundreds of years. Don't change it. Don't be putting grey copy on a lemon background. You know, it's usability and accessibility. It's a combination, but it's all about clarity. And often, and remember as well that someone might be viewing your site on a mobile phone at Coles checkout with the sun shining on the screen. That's the real life, right? We're not all sitting at a desktop patiently browsing through your content. We're on the move. We're busy people. So make it easy.
Yeah. Those are really great tips. Any others before we move on to a different? Oh,
I could go on and on, but I'd say my only other one is at least once a week, try to go through your site like a real person. If you are a store, try and buy a product all the way through. If you are a business service business, try to fill out your own contact form. Again, on a mobile phone while walking. preferably holding a screaming toddler. If you don't have a screaming toddler, get someone else's. Just once a week, check that, because things break. Things break, plugins and apps change, and you may find that, oh, I'm wondering why I'm not getting any emails. And maybe your contact form has been broken for weeks. So, you know, make sure that you put a little bit of time aside every Friday morning in your diary, 10-minute quick on your phone check of your site. I guarantee if you did that every week, by the end of the year, you'd have found probably 100 little things you want to fix and improve on. So, yeah, really important. Mm.
And like you say, scheduling it in and allocating just 10 minutes means that we can actually do these things without it feeling too overwhelming.
Overwhelming, yeah. I'll let you do it once a fortnight if you want.
Oh, you're very generous.
Okay.
Very gracious, Kate. It's a northern thing. Fantastic. So I wanted to talk to you about what motivated you to write your first book.
Oh, well, actually, this is my fourth book.
Your fourth book. I meant you've got another one coming out, which is very similar in title. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, the first in the series, because this is going to be a series.
Yes, it is. So this is my first, I would say, real book. I wrote a poetry book, a kid's book. And then I published my first businessy book. It was called Confessions of a Misfit Entrepreneur in 2017. But all of those were self-published. So the reason that this book is I really wanted a real publisher. I wanted distribution. I wanted to be in the airport. I wanted that thrill of being able to walk into the airport and pick my book off the shelf.
Yeah.
Honestly, that was my motivation. And I'm not going to be ashamed of that, because it was just something that I really want to be a writer. And I thought, I'm going to invest this time in this for me. If I was a middle-aged man, I might have bought a Harley Davidson. But instead, I probably spent the same amount on getting my book out there. But also, the book is called Six Figures in School Hours, How to Run a Good Business, Successful Business and Still Be a Good Parent. I do feel like I'm a good example of that. You know, I still only work 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
Built a very, you know, big and financially rewarding business that's helped a lot of people while still, I think, being a very present mum. So I did think I had some lessons to pass on. And then now, yes, the next one's coming out in July.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I love your motivation, because this is the thing. I think sometimes we get caught up in, you know, we should be motivated by these things that are expected from society. But the fact that you wanted to be able to walk in an airport and pick up your own book, I think that's really cool. I would love to do that. Yeah. I've been writing a book for far too long, so one day I'll get that finished.
We'll have a chat about that after this podcast.
Yes.
I have worked hard for many years, and last year the time and money I invested in the book meant that my profitability dropped from 52% to 32%, which is still good, but it's a big drop, because I took the time to invest in something for me and a life goal. And, you know, business shouldn't always just be flogging yourself.
Exactly.
You should have some rewards, and maybe those rewards aren't necessarily financial or, you know, business growth related. They're just something that makes you happy. But I do think it's had a knock-on impact on my business as well, you know.
Oh, so undoubtedly. Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't agree more with that. You know, the way I kind of build my business now is so that it fits with the life that I want. And that I'm doing work that I'm passionate about, and I'm finding fun, because I know that then the people I'm working with are going to get the best of me. And I'm going to be living my best life. So it's win-win.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I want to kind of race to my desk on a Monday, and I still do.
You know?
I would say that a large chunk of my business is very boring and repetitive, but there's a joy in that as well, because it's very content. There's no ups and downs. There's no stress. So, you know, I really, all I want these days is an easy life with no drama.
Yeah.
And if that means I don't get many highs and lows, so be it. You know, I'd rather have that. I just want to keep myself on a bit of a, sounds negative, a flat line, because that's a nice place to be, to have a day where there's no nasty surprises. I love it.
Absolutely. And I think the little things, I always taught my son, get excited about the little things. Because that's what you'll have lots of in your life. If you're only going to get excited when something big happens, you have big periods of waiting and maybe nothing big will happen. Who knows? I think I really like that.
Yeah, my mantra at the moment is, instead of dream big, do small.
Small
incremental changes rather than like, reach for the stars, up level, dream, oh, whatever. You know, just do something little and enjoyable and keep on swimming. I think, you know, persistence and longevity is underrated in our business world. You know, turning up every day to a job that you enjoy, that supports your life, that's enough. Can't that be enough? Do we all have to be famous? Do we all have to make millions? No.
I was listening to a podcast as I was driving up the coast, actually, last night. And it was Jamila Jamil was talking on a podcast, and she was saying, well, why are we all aspiring to be billionaires? That means we're just all going to want to hoard our money.
Yeah.
Like, why are we holding that up as something to be striving for?
Yeah, I know.
Like we're English. That's not going to help the world, is it?
No, we're English and we're Northern, and that's definitely not something that is promoted where we come from. You know, my parents were very much, you know, never a borrower. Or a lender B, don't get credit cards, you know, just keep it small. Don't be over ambitious. And I think that can hold you back. Like, I don't think ambition is wrong, but you've got to be really careful about what you set as your goal. Like, you know, I fell into that. I made money my God. And, you know, I hit my $1 million a year and it was deeply unsatisfying. Mm. That sounds a very smug thing to say. But now I've actually reduced my income goals dramatically because, you know, I want to make sure that I'm happy, you know, as well.
Absolutely.
I'm so sorry. My wonderful partner just bought me a coffee. I'm sorry to interrupt your podcast.
Oh, never apologize for that. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's not about demonizing ambition. I'm an ambitious woman.
Yeah.
But like yourself, it's this shift in, but what am I actually working towards? And I know when I work with people, it's always, what is your definition of success? Let's not go
question.
With, because there's so much stuff, isn't there, of, you know, build a 6 and 7 figure business, only work 2 hours a week. I mean, that maybe when you've built it down the track, you can work next to no hours, but that does take a lot of work and there's cost to it. When I was studying, I was always asking myself, because I was raising my son on my own, I'm going to do this, but at what cost?
Oh, boom. That's the exact thing I say in my book. Like, you know, you can have whatever you want as long as you take the consequence with it. You know, my books are ironically started with 6 figures, right? 6 figures in 4 hours. My next one's 6 figures while you sleep.
Yeah.
6 figures in this world, you know, if we say it's 100 grand.
Yeah.
Before tax is not a lot of money in Australia in this modern market.
Yeah.
You know, it would, you know, you to get property or anything like that, that's a baseline, really. But, you know, it's still hard for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to get there first. But I think the main thing is, what is your definition of success? Don't be impacted by other people's vision. Because, you know, I'll often see someone doing something fabulous. And it's funny, I just was talking to you before this. I went and spoke at Writers Festival, and like a couple of years ago, I saw that and thought that would be a dream. And was it? It was all right. It was good. I loved it. But it was 4 days away from home. It was a lot of travel. I didn't know anybody. I'm quite introverted. So I was on stage for like half an hour. It was good. It wasn't amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I set that up as some big goal thinking it'd be whoop-de-doop. And honestly, it was great coming home. So, you know, just be careful what you wish for. Because often.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm curious, what did you learn in the process of writing a book? And that, like you say, you've written a few. So, because I think anything like that, those kind of endeavors, as well as running businesses, I think they're more of a personal growth journey than anything else.
We're like the same person. Everything you're saying, I'm like, I was going to say that. Yeah, huge personal development, the ability to make yourself do something every day that in reality you don't want to do, because it's very hard writing a book, and to do it in a short period of time. So I wrote my first one in about 7 weeks.
Yeah.
This one's taken a little bit longer. But to turn, you know, after we finish this, I've got to write more of my book. I don't want to. I'd rather do anything else. So the ability to force yourself to do something you don't want to do, and there's no immediate dopamine.
Yeah.
Like it's slow release serotonin of achievement. I'll get my dopamine later down the track, but right now it's pleasure delay, massive pleasure delay, and just slog. You know, it also taught me the art, made me realize I am a good writer. Like, and I can, I can say that with confidence now. You never know, do you? But it's been very well received, and I've had some compliments about the writing as well as the content. And just the ability to see something through. So often we set goals and we start things and we don't finish them.
Mm.
So to finish it, you know, is and it is part of a trilogy, so there is one more coming. But I may give myself, I've said to myself, I won't do that next, the start of next year, but I probably will. I know what I'm like. Mm. I love having a goal. I love having a project. Yeah. Even though it's a stick to beat myself with while I'm doing it, I'm going to feel so good. I've got 3 chapters to go, Hayley, and then I'm done.
That's so exciting.
I know. I can't wait.
That's so exciting. And I think, like you say, finishing, I have an early life history of starting and finishing nothing.
Yeah.
And when I went to uni as a single parent and ended up doing a PhD, and finishing that PhD, one was, felt great because I'd done a PhD, but two, it was this nod to my younger self to say, you see,
I know,
we're always capable, always, and we did it.
I love that. Exactly.
Feeling a bit emotional.
I know, but it's so true. And I have a physical, tangible thing.
Yeah.
And I did that. And that's why, you know, I still, every time I go into a bookshop, I'll take a photo of it and I'll do it till I die. Mm. Because that is, as you said, it's proof to myself that I can do hard things and things that other people, you know, it's that, there's a cheesy meme about it, isn't it? That you'll put the time in now when people won't, to have something that people, most people aspire to and will never have. You know, you have to push yourself, not to the point of burnout. Obviously, we're going to talk about that. But there is a degree of pushing yourself and doing things that you don't want to do. Life isn't all jolly and wonderful.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just hard work, and accepting that is important, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's inspiring me to get back to my book, which is a large draft at this point, just needs some work doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to be living up at the beach for at least the next year. So I said to my husband, maybe this is the time for me to tune into that creativity and get my book done. So
I think it is. I think this is the serendipitous discussion. It was meant to happen.
I think so. So one of the things you're saying, not to the point of burnout, and what I like to talk to guests about is, how do you take care of yourself whilst running a business? Because it can get to be something that can be all consuming or overwhelming. And I think if we're not intentional about it, it can be the thing that runs our life.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I've not burnt out, but I've definitely smelt the whiff of the smoke. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you go back maybe to 2016, 2017, I was very overweight, very unhealthy, had health problems. I was, you know, 3 coffees in the morning, half a bottle of wine at night, kind of on a horrible treadmill loop, racing to my desk because I was like, I haven't got time to go to the gym or anything. I've got so much to do, so much to do.
Yeah.
Trying to look after my son. My partner and I have separated as well, so we do share the load. But, you know, having a child is a big deal, a lot of mind, brain stuff there. So I think I was, you know, really not looking after myself at all, and I really didn't hit rock bottom, but pretty close. And I think since then, you know, I've made big changes. I put a lot of effort into losing weight. Not that there's anything wrong with being, you know, big or small, but for me, I was unhealthy.
It was a health thing, yeah.
Yeah, I had fatty liver and horrible things like that. You know, I've pretty much given up drinking. So once in a while, I'll have a glass of wine. But, you know, God, I used to have, you know, drink nearly every night, you know, especially during COVID. I go to the gym, I exercise, I walk the dog, and I don't work much. I'm not one of these revolting people who says I work 2 hours a day, but I do work 4 hours a day, or five. And, you know, I go make sure I have breakfast in the morning and my vitamins, and then I finish at 3, and from 3 onwards is my time, and I do nice things. And that has meant a big, as I said, massive impact on my income. But how much money do you need?
Exactly.
What's it all for? You know, I don't want anything. I just want to have a nice life. So, yeah, I'm very conscious of that. I do try and meditate. I do try and do yoga, but I'm more of an active relaxer.
Absolutely. And I think one of the really, really important things is knowing ourselves so that we can choose those activities and nice things that suit us, not that somebody on the internet is telling you that's how you do life well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think that's the really important thing, isn't it? Is know what suits you. You mentioned you finish at 3 and do some nice things for yourself. Can you share what perhaps some of those are? Because I think sometimes when we do that, it helps people think, oh, I haven't thought of that. Or maybe I could do that when I finish work or in the morning or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky to live in a nice place, so I like going for walks. But, you know, I even get a lot of pleasure, as you said, small things, just walking up to Coles, shopping at a leisurely pace on my own. I love shopping, even if it's just buying food. You know, I pot around the garden. I've got little projects. I do stupid things like, you know, paint by numbers and stuff like that. But just pottering around, like, you know, you're just sort of in a bit of a, your brain has slipped sideways and you're just sort of wandering around your house, picking things up and putting them down again.
Yeah.
That's it, really. It's nothing sexy. It's not like I do glorious tapestries or anything like that. I'm just pottering around, just mooching around.
Just being with yourself. You're in relationship with yourself. Hey?
Yeah, doing everything slowly.
Yeah.
With no urgency. Yeah. And I do love a bath. So I love a long bath. I have a bath every day. Bath. There you go. Bath. I've got northern.
I love that because they are very accessible things for people, and it really sounds like that's you being in relationship with yourself and just taking care of yourself and tuning in. What do I feel like right now? What do I need right now? And then giving that to yourself. That's beautiful.
I like the idea of going in and doing classes and group workout sessions and stuff, but I say to myself, if I'm nearly 50 and I've never done that, there's a reason why, you know. So stop making that my goal. I wouldn't really enjoy it. It's that external thing of saying, well, you know, this is what it looks like, and it's like, no, it doesn't look like that for me, you know.
I'll say to my husband, I'll come up with an idea of how I'm gonna do life, you know. And then I say, oh, hang on a minute, no, actually, I'm going to plan it based on who I am.
Yeah.
And it's going to look completely different to that.
My very weary partner is like, cool, that sounds really good. It's great, that plan, knowing full well I will never do it, you know.
So it's like, oh, that looks really exciting. Oh, that looks really cool. I'd like to do that. And I'm like, actually, no, I wouldn't.
Yeah. And this is it, getting more in tune with, because I have today me and yesterday me. And God, do I curse yesterday me sometimes, who sets out these ridiculous plans and goals. And it's really about being more together in yourself. So you are like, you know, someone asks you to do something, instead of saying yes and then dreading it, you really sit for a minute and go, I don't actually want to do that. I wouldn't enjoy that. And being brave enough to say that in the moment, or just to say, let me think about it. And stop setting yourself up for failure and misery, you know.
Absolutely. I think you touched on two really important things there, is that, again, that slowing down, giving yourself space when somebody asks something of you, so that you're not reacting, but you're allowing yourself to respond. And then learning to say no. This is something I work with people in my groups, is learning to say no, because it's one of the smallest words we have, but can be one of the hardest to say. But I say to people, it's not that you don't know how to say no. You're saying it to the wrong person.
Yeah. Oh, that's very nice.
Because you can't, when you're saying yes to people when you don't want to, you keep saying no to yourself.
Well, this is it. And I think the thing is, there's a big thing about wanting to be liked and wanting to be accepted by the tribe. And, you know, even when I was at this writers' festival, someone said, oh, you know, I've got a free spot in my workshop this afternoon. You're welcome to come. And it was such a nice offer. And I waited, I looked at the text, and I thought, I really don't want to go to that. It was such a nice offer. How kind of them. They're going to think I'm such a rude cow. And so in the end, I just wrote back and said, that's a really, really kind offer. I won't be able to make it, but thank you. And I didn't give any excuse.
Yeah.
I didn't, whatever. But it took me a while to send that message, you know, because I didn't want to be rude.
But that's fantastic. And you did it in a way that is really lovely. It's like the gratitude of, thank you, that's really kind of you.
Yeah.
And I can't come.
Yeah.
Thank you anyway. Yeah. I love that. I love that. So What is something, if you could go back to your younger self, we were saying before, we both came out to this wonderful, wonderful land of Australia when we were 25, because we literally are twins. What is something you would go, but if you could go back and say to your younger self about business or life, what would you say to her?
I mean, it's a cliche, but the biggest thing would be to stop looking at other people. I've wasted months and years being envious and jealous of other people, looking at their successes and grumbling about why I'm not having that success. You know, all they're doing this thing, I want to do this thing, even though I don't in my heart.
Yeah.
And just feeling like the unpopular kid, you know, and feeling like I'm on the outside looking in and everyone else is doing amazing. And, you know, just that's just time when you realize that most people feel like that. And yeah, that the people who are probably most sort of showy offy and I'm doing this are usually the most insecure and, you know, putting it out there. And that even if they're not, that's their happiness and it's got nothing to do with me, and just leave them alone and just do your thing. So it's very cliche, but it's, you know, stay in your lane, do your thing. Yeah. Stop worrying about what everyone else thinks about you, because they probably don't think about you at all.
Yeah, I love that. Fantastic. And then this one is a question I ask of all my guests, and I love waiting for the answers for this one. But if you could meet your 80-year-old self, what do you think she would say to you right now?
Oh, that's brutal, Hayley. Hopefully she's still alive. So that's the main thing. She'd say, thank you so much for being fit and healthy. Yeah. Which means that I'm mobile and active as an 80-year-old. I think she would say, well, I hope, in the, you know, I've got 30 years between then and now, and these 30 years, I think, are going to be my best 30 years. I've got a lot of exciting things planned and a lot of pottering to do. So I think she'd just say, well done, good on you, keep going, you know. Everything you've said on this podcast and everything that you talk about in your shows, you know, about being true to yourself, being intentional, taking a breath, you know, and making sure that you are living the life that you want to live, not the life other people want you to live. I think she'd be proud of me.
Yeah, I think she would too. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. It's been such a pleasure chatting with you, Kate. Thank you so much for coming on. I'll put all your contacts in the show notes. And people can come and find out more about you and the things that you offer. And perhaps I'm going to jump into your CEO training next round. It's clashed with me moving house this round, but I'm so keen to learn more about that and what I'm going to see as another language.
Another language, and a very accessible language. Well, the most exciting thing as well is that you'll be able to hear you on my podcast, Six Figures in School Hours. So if you've enjoyed this episode, come and listen to that one.
Absolutely. So you take care. Have a beautiful day. Enjoy your pottering. And we'll speak again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing this time with me today. I hope our time together has been helpful and supportive. If there has been something in this episode that you have found helpful, I invite you to share it with another person you think might benefit. If you've benefited in any way from the podcast, please do me a favour and show my pod some love by giving it a 5-star rating and review. Ratings, reviews and shares really help to increase awareness and reach of the podcast, allowing this helpful information to be spread more widely. All reviews are welcome and much appreciated. If you do share on socials, remember to tag me so I can see who's listening, because you never really know over here in podcast land, and I can reach out personally to say thank you. If you'd like to be notified when the next episode airs, please use the link in the show notes to join our mailing list. If you have any particular topics you'd like to learn more about or guests you'd like to hear from, please reach out and let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Music and editing by Nyssa Ray. Thanks, Nyssa. I wish you all well in your relationship with yourself and your business. May you go well and go gently. And remember, if you thrive, your business can too.